Daniela Moyles has written her memoir called Jump, One Girl's Search for Meaning, and it's about growing up, burning out, bad decisions, reckless adventures, love and loss, and she's here to tell us all about it. Welcome to the show, Daniela.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, and you know all about this, of course, because you were a radio presenter yourself.
I was, yeah. I used to host the breakfast radio show of a station in Dublin. So, yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
In another life, yeah.
Well, let's talk about that, because it was only a few years ago, as well as radio presenting, you were TV presenting, you were a model, you were a travel writer, you know, sounds like a dream life. But then one day, 3 years ago, you just packed it all in and went backpacking for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had on paper what seemed like a lot of success. I was very busy, and had acquired a lot of nice material things, but I suppose I was probably victim to productivity and had a little bit of a, well, not a little, I had a large burnout that I just didn't see coming at all, which was kind of shocking to me, because you would think that you would have enough self-awareness to maybe catch those things before they cause, I suppose, a debilitating effect on your life. But yeah, I had a pretty severe panic attack one day after probably having panic attacks for many months while not realizing that I was having them, and then quit my job and went traveling the world. Very cliche, but it was very helpful ultimately.
Yeah, I think it's brave. I think it's a really brave decision to make. I always remember somebody telling me years ago that one of the worst things that you can have is a good job, because you never want to leave it and do anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Like, you do sometimes feel, I suppose, the privilege and also the pressure of the amount of years that you spent working to get to that point. And it can feel like you then put limitations on yourself or restrictions on yourself, and you might stay in something that makes you less than happy or less than fulfilled or that you don't even want at all, which ended up kind of being what I figured out. But that's a curse of modern life. You also very much need a job.
yeah, of course. And was it one of those situations, Daniela, which we've all seen, you know, on social media, this person's got the best job and the best life and the best house, etc., but something was wrong in the background? Or was there nothing wrong? You just literally burnt out, as you say?
No, I think there is always something wrong if you get to that point. At the time, I don't think that I would have been able to articulate that, though. I don't think I would have been able to say, oh, there's something wrong. Because if I knew it that explicitly, I probably wouldn't have gotten to the point that I did. But I think what happens is we're often just doing what we're told. So, like, you can be a little bit on autopilot. So you finish school, go to college, do your studies, or find a job, and then maybe meet a partner, settle down, buy a house, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe in all of that, I never stopped to think about whether I actually really enjoyed or wanted what I was doing.
Mm.
I was just kind of adhering to a social pathway and doing quite well at that as well. So I felt like I should be happy. You know, I was like, why aren't I happy? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm doing it well. But yes, happiness seemed very elusive, and I just felt kind of like a constant hum of exhaustion and anxiety and kind of unease. But I didn't know how to make sense of that, because on paper I was doing everything right. So, yeah, I think it was that kind of contradiction that caused the burnout.
Yeah, and on top of that, you have guilt, don't you? Because you think, what have I got to be feeling bad about? You know, some people haven't even got a job, but that doesn't help when you're feeling like that in the moment.
That was definitely something I had to overcome, and did so on the journey of kind of figuring it out. But yeah, we often completely deny our own feelings because, you know, we don't want to validate them, or we don't want to sit with them, or we don't want to pay attention to where they might actually be rooted, or maybe they just feel uncomfortable. So yeah, I often did feel, I suppose, probably a little bit of confusion around not being as happy as I thought I should be, you know? And then you feel bad for that, and then that's it works again. It's another layer.
A vicious circle, it really is. And did you lose your confidence, Daniela? Because obviously in the jobs that you do, in presenting, etc., everyone thinks that you're massively confident. But one of the symptoms, I guess, of anxiety is that you lose your confidence.
I was functioning well to a point, actually. I think I held it together longer than I probably should have been able to. But I did definitely notice, and it was actually quite instantaneous, which is funny. It was like I woke up one day and it was different. And I'd obviously been managing up until a point, and then whatever internal coping mechanism I had must have just been exhausted. And it was quite literally like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I do explicitly remember waking up one day and just feeling very, very different. And at that point, I would say I lost my confidence, but it didn't. I probably couldn't have articulated it like that at the time. I just felt like I was struggling to do the things that I used to do with ease. So things like public speaking were harder, getting through different presenting jobs, or just generally being in kind of a very overstimulating social setting became very challenging. And so, yeah, I definitely did struggle with things that I would have probably been able to just fly through before. And it was a huge loss of confidence. It took many years actually to kind of recover from that, but I did ultimately. And I think that's the message in the book, is that, you know, when things get to that point, it can often feel like, well, I know when I got to that point, I had a lot of conviction around the fact that this was probably just who I was now. And even if I did manage to remedy it, I'd probably never be able to remedy it fully. And that I'd maybe always be a little bit tainted with this experience now, or this is just a new mindset, a new way of being. But ultimately, I actually think figuring it out meant just sitting with the uncomfortable things that we don't necessarily speak about. And that was the purpose of the book, was kind of peeling a layer back on these cringy or socially taboo or not necessarily forthcoming traits of the human experience that are common to us all, but that we just do not seem to talk about. And while we're all speaking more about mental health and its prevalence, we're not necessarily speaking more about the underpinnings. That's what I kind of wanted to reveal with the book.
And can I ask you what your underpinnings were? They are in the book, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely detailed them much better than I'll be able to do now, but I'll do my best. There were things like what I have been touching on there, like not fitting in emotion, but definitely a repressed spectrum of negative emotion, like, you know, anger, shame, guilt, embarrassment, humiliation, things that, you know, aspects of my life and experience that I had probably compartmentalized and not integrated into the script of who I thought I was. And that just isn't... that's just a fractured image of yourself. And so it's very hard to stop repeating patterns if you're not identifying what you were doing. That's one. Another is attachment issues, which I think is, you know, becoming more of a conversation. And so things around the relationships you had growing up and the things that you internalized from those relationships and then that you kind of unconsciously bring into your adult life. What else? there was quite a bit of stuff. But I think it's a really common human experience. It's not, even though the story might be the same, I think the underlying theme is still the same.
So
I think it's a relatable examination of self.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what was the answer for you? Was it simply 2 years backpacking, or did you have help from a GP? Did you seek out help?
Initially, I did. Initially, I went to the GP because initially, as I mentioned, I didn't really know what was happening. I had a huge lack of self-awareness, and I just thought I was genuinely physically sick. I was looking for the remedy in a pill. You know, I hadn't really understood that this was maybe a problem with living or a problem with personality or a problem with mental health. I just was completely blind to the fact that I would ever struggle with anything like that. And even in the midst of this, I was in total denial. I had no idea what was going on. So I did go to a GP, and then the penny dropped, and I realized that actually this was probably something that was caused by, you know, my own lifestyle or my own lack of self-awareness, or maybe a combination of many things, but it was something that I would have to remedy in a different way. I wasn't going to find the answer necessarily in a pill. And so I did go to psychotherapy for many months before I went traveling. And I suppose the travel felt really counterintuitive because I was a girl on my own traveling the world with a one-way ticket at a very vulnerable and fragile time. And I wouldn't necessarily say that the travel is what ultimately made me figure things out. I think the work I did while traveling provided the space and the time to kind of do the work that I did. But I do think the two are mutually exclusive. I think you could do it from your bedroom, from your home. But what I ultimately think I did to kind of remedy or to find my own remedy was a lot of self-examination, a lot of sitting in uncomfortable feelings and accepting them, and a lot of facing fears and the limitations that fears can place on our kind of idea of ourselves. And again, a lot of it is detailed much better than that in the book, and with a colourful story and a nice backdrop of different wonderful locations around the world. But the message is ultimately that, yes.
Did you go to lots of places, lots of lovely places?
I did, yeah. 2.5 years on the road was quite a while. I did everywhere from Alaska right down to Ushuaia in Argentina, so all Central South America, most of Asia, some of the Middle East. So yeah, it was incredible. It was a really amazing experience.
And did you? It was a brave move, but a bit of a scary move. Did you ever regret it? Was it definitely the right thing to do?
Never regretted it for a moment. Oh. It was actually scarier, the thought of staying at home. So I don't think I embodied that fear of the unknown. I think I actually was more scared that I wouldn't figure it out. You know, that thought was scarier to me. So the going wasn't quite as scary as I think. And I often get asked about it. I feel like I was just so consumed by, oh God, I'm not going to figure this out. But that felt scarier to me at the time. The travel actually felt like a bit of a salvation.
So yeah. Was it scary coming back then when you returned to Ireland? Was that a bit daunting?
Absolutely petrified.
I want to go back to Thailand.
That was the scariest thing of all. No, definitely. Because I left in such a rush and all the triggers, everything that ever would have triggered me ever is here. And I didn't necessarily tie up all my loose ends before I left. So when I came home, it felt like kind of, you know, returning to the scene of the crime nearly. And that was very scary. But, you know, look, I'm still here. It's a year later and we're figuring it out. So it was a good acid test to see if everything I thought I learned on the road was actually true. And I seem to be functioning quite well here now. So
you've written a book since then, so well done. And how have you been during lockdown? Because that can make everybody feel anxious.
I know, I feel almost bad saying this because I can empathise and see the struggle globally and how much this is affecting everybody, from enormous changes right down to day-to-day just hardships. But I find lockdown actually kind of enjoyable because of the change of pace, the space and time. I've felt very, I don't know, I've enjoyed the break. I've enjoyed the privilege of the space, but that said, I'm very much ready to get back to some idea of normal life. It's still very strict here in Ireland. There's still a huge amount of new legislation and new guidelines in place. So we're just trying our best now to navigate day to day and kind of figure out how to get back to seeing people in this like whole new world. I think in time that could get very difficult, you know, to not be able to see people or not be able to have like touch or just the normal things that make human life better.
You're not,
on the whole, I've had a manageable time.
Good for you. And you're not that unusual, to be honest. A lot of people I've spoke to have said they've actually enjoyed the break from normal life. So people have recharged the batteries, I think.
Yeah. If we can take a silver lining from it, which I suppose we should be trying to do, that's one thing, isn't it? Is that we've had this moment, this pause, where we can individually and collectively decide, you know, what we want to take with us back into the world now after that break. And maybe that will be for the better.
Yeah, a moment to reflect. And I know that prior to lockdown as well, you started to do small workshops and day retreats to help other people with things like anxiety. Are you picking that up again?
Yeah, we hope to. We're trying to get them back up and running now with all of the new guidelines in place. It's a little bit slow, but we have moved some of them to online and they've been working well. So when I came home, I kind of needed an anchor or a reason to come home. So I went back to college and I'm studying psychotherapy and counselling. And I put together a online resource. It's called The Skill, S-G-L-L, for no I, mainly because there's no domains left anywhere in the world. But I put together this online resource of online courses, information, in-person and online workshops. And yeah, it's a resource of remedies for slow and steady life. So it's the things I wish that I had known or that I'd had in my arsenal when I was kind of hurtling towards a burnout that I couldn't see coming. And it's there to help others that might find themselves in a similar position to where I was, or maybe resonate with the book or the story and are then kind of looking to start that journey of coming back down from the fight or flight kind of default state and trying to get the body back to equilibrium and understand the mechanics of what's happening and learn how to voluntarily relax, learn how to train the mind, you know. So that's what I'm kind of working on now, and it's very fulfilling, very different than the life I left behind, but much more, I've found a lot more meaning in it, and it gives me a reason to get up in the morning, and I love it.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you have to find what's right for you ultimately, don't you? What makes you happy?
Yeah, just like, I think for me, it ultimately ended up being about leaving behind what I thought was right and what I thought was supposed to be the path that we were all supposed to take, and kind of following the little threads of joy, even if those were unconventional or didn't make sense to others, or, you know, felt a little bit against the grain, or a little bit like unconventionally successful, but felt better to me. So yeah, just those little threads of joy, and then I'm hoping ultimately they'll come together into some kind of gorgeous tapestry, but I don't know yet. I'm kind of at the start.
I'm sure it will. And I wish you lots of luck, and with the book as well, which is called Jump, One Girl's Search for Meaning by Daniela Moyles, who we're talking to now. You're not a relation to Chris, are you?
I wish I could say yes to that.
Just a coincidence that you're both radio presenters. Bless you. Lots of luck. Do come on the show again, Daniela. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Bye.